ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to episode number 15 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Only 85 more episodes to syndication, Joe.
And Ron Deanna.
And we are, at this recording, 30 days of getting out of seeing Force Awakens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be probably less than 30 days when people actually listen to this.
Guys, I legitimately just got goosebumps when he said that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember somebody said 5 weeks, and I was like, oh, wow.
I remember 100 days. That was like, oh, it's so close, and now it's really close.
Yeah, tonight's my wife's birthday, and this morning I greeted her with, "Happy 1 month till Star Wars Day, honey." That didn't go over well.
Next on WDWNT, The Divorce Radio.
And I know Ron got his tickets. He's got multiple tickets, and I got a ticket.
Nope,
and
still don't Patrick, have one.
Yeah, I give you credit, man. I just ran as soon as they started announcing that the tickets were on sale. I just wanted to make sure I had my ticket.
I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and go maybe in the middle of the day. I don't know. I'm stuck.
Yes, I might end up texting some spoilers to you.
Yeah. We'll talk about that off the air. I can't use the kind of language that I'd like to.
Okay. All right, so let's get into some stories here. One of the big news stories that came out this week is that at Hollywood Studios, the Seasons of the Force is no more.
Well, it is and it isn't no more. I mean, it's the weirdest thing is they're just getting rid of the title and just spreading out the stuff. I guess they are just so in need of things to do at the studios that it doesn't make sense to condense everything into just a short little package of time. Might as well milk it for as long as you can. frozen. But I think really that's more of what it is. It's just, Frozen Summer Fun went beyond the summer, so let's just get rid of the title and, just run this stuff without having to worry about dates.
And we really weren't getting as much as Disneyland got anyway. But it stinks seeing what Disneyland got and then just having them be like, we're not doing that. No, it's okay. You'll be fine. You're going to get enough Star Wars soon enough.
I think it was a dumb name to begin with, the Seasons of the Force.
Yes, it's a dumb name.
But for the most part, though, I guess we're, like Ron said, we're getting most of the things that they were going to have during that, but like the fireworks show is going to be on a daily basis as opposed to the weekend.
Can I interject there for a quick second, Joe?
Sure.
Do we think that it's a possibility that when we have a Star Wars lands that this fireworks will be nightly?
I think they're putting in other IPs. We might see a mix show, kind of like Wishes takes in the music from different Disney properties. We might get different, properties from the studios. Like a part of it'll be Toy Story. A part of it'll be Star Wars. A part of it'll be, maybe a little bit of Twilight Zone music behind it. Hopefully there won't be any Aerosmith fireworks.
Well, I think that there'll probably be a new incarnation of the Star Wars spectacular fireworks display. I mean, you're probably going to have like a light show and like, I don't know. Did they even say if they were going to do anything with that Echo Lake over there?
Nothing's
we
announced
don't know
yet. Yeah.
Some people have looked at some plans that have been filed with permitting. And I think it still seems to be more backlot end of things, not the front of the park.
Hashtag save Muppets.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely could do fireworks, too, with this new land and still feel like an official new planet, as they're trying to do. They want to make it like you have the feel that you're actually visiting a new world and stuff like that, because they have fireworks and Star Wars movies, and that'll be fine if they do something like that. But I could see them doing like some sort of like really special kind of things, like maybe even like doing something like World of Color, or maybe not that extreme.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely like getting that over at Animal Kingdom too, with Rivers.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, they'll combine something where it's going to – it'll be – like right now with the Star Wars fireworks display that we have now, I mean, it's nice and, you know, the music is great and everything. But I think that once they do decide – I mean, once the land is open, I think we're going to see something special. Well, again, that's my wish list. I don't know for a fact, but I could see that happening.
The second any kind of numbers compared to the regular park attendance drop for Fantasmic, that'll be when we get a new spectacle. Or, you know, if the park Fantasmic can't hold everybody because of the park's new attendance, that could be the other thing. Because Fantasmic, even if it's running two shows a night, is 20,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's 20,000 people. If Star Wars gets that park at even near its current capacity, that's 35,000 or so people, that you're not going to be able to just get away with just doing Fantasmic at that point.
Now, you guys are probably more familiar with Seasons of the Force or what it was more than I am. Could you explain like some of the things that we were supposed to get and what we're getting now?
Well, it was always bigger at Disneyland. I mean, the launch bay, which I don't think is going to be just going to be too temporary until Star Wars Land is done, was part of it. And let's see what else. New Jedi Training Academy, which was coming anyway. They're not going to change that off and on for the event. I think the Stormtrooper Parade might be something that's only temporary.
And is this going to have the new Stormtroopers?
I think they're First Order. I'm not
First
sure.
Order? Yeah, because I saw that Tom mentioned that in his article, that they were going to have like First Order Stormtroopers walking around. I wasn't sure about the parade, though.
Yeah, it is the First Order Stormtrooper will be on patrol, quote-unquote, starting January 5th.
That should be cool.
Yeah, so everything's still coming, but it's just not being called that because it's just going to come and it's going to be there, I guess.
Yeah, and given some of the secondary stuff that was at, the launch bay is getting good, decent reviews. The lines for the characters are decently long. The lines for the merchandise when it first came out, like the TIE Fighter popcorn buckets and the scalpers that were going after that.
Oh, man, it's been crazy.
They had a limit of five, and there were people, like husband and wife, each buying the five to be able to sell.
Hmm. Did you guys see any of the launch bay from Disneyland, like some of the pictures?
I saw pictures of the food. I didn't see pictures of anything else.
Can we talk about the food for a minute? They really need to up their game on this. It's. I was hoping it would be better than the Star Wars Weekend stuff, but this just, it seems the same unable to theme food that they've always had.
Yeah. I mean, the pastry, come on.
They really have no concept of what to do other than something with blue milk.
And that's the running joke that, I mean, we've talked about on Around the Hub forever, is that blue milk, we all want blue milk, and then, but what else is there?
Yeah, just call something a Bantha steak and make it a steak. You really don't have to go beyond that, and you're okay.
Yeah, but I didn't see... I saw the exterior of the launch bay. It looks nice. I saw some of the banners. I didn't see any interior shots of the launch bay yet. By the way, launch bay is such a terrible name. I keep wanting to call it the lunch bay.
Well, one thing, and I'm wondering if you saw this, Ron. They had like some lightsabers there. Like they had Luke's lightsaber from Empire, which is supposed to be like the central piece that's in The Force Awakens. And they kind of gave some explanation as to how it survived its voyage in Bespin.
I saw the lightsaber displays. I didn't see any close-ups of the plaques explaining things. I saw that they had I like they did a lot of recreations of stuff from the Clone Wars and from Rebels, which I thought was cool to see what that stuff looks like in reality. Maybe there was more stuff from Rebels, and I wonder if that is going to play into the fact that people think that Rogue One might have characters from Rebels in it.
I've been wondering that.
Well, I think originally they thought that the main female lead was going to be Sabine. There was a rumor going. I mean, I know it's not anymore, but they were pushing it.
I mean, there was things saying that's why they chose Freddie Prinze Jr. is, you know, they could have used him for that character.
Yeah.
That would be very interesting if something like that did occur.
Well, they're going to have to explain by the end of this series where these people are.
Yep. And I think we've referenced that in an earlier episode of Nerd Alert where I was very worried that they would no longer be with us.
Yeah, I really think that there's a very good chance that, you know, Kanan and Ezra are gone. And I mean, we've always wondered for years, like, what happened to Ahsoka during the Clone Wars, and they kind of brought that back up again. They kind of settled it in Clone Wars, but now it's back as an issue again.
And have you guys been up to date with the Rebels, like, the most recent one?
I am not. I've been trying to catch up on everything. When you go away, you kind of fall back on a lot of your television watching. So I've been playing catch-up. But
overall, I thought it was a good episode. But it did counteract something that was supposed to be canon.
Yeah, I guess we won't mention it. Since...
Go ahead, I don't care.
It was the creation of the B-Wing is shown in the show. And traditionally, it's always been one of Ackbar's personal creations, and now it was just some other Mon Calamari who did it. I mean, it's not a huge, you know, issue, but it is just showing that they are playing with canon a little bit more.
Yeah, I did like that episode, and I did like that guy, too. I thought he was an interesting character.
Well, I mean, speaking of messing with canon, the Shattered Empire stuff, man, is it all over the place, huh?
I think it was just supposed to be a bit of a wrap-up, and it really was to introduce, I guess, Poe's parents.
Right, we do get introduced to Poe's parents. But, I mean, what about the panels in Naboo where Leia suddenly feels cold and you see the graphic of the overlay of Darth Maul. I was like, wow, this is something else going on over here.
Yeah,
I mean, that's one thing they also have to address is Maul's alive. At the last we saw, like, they never wrapped up his story in Clone Wars.
Yeah, that is so weird that that's canon, too. That he survived a Phantom Menace.
I thought it was a clone.
I mean,
what's that?
I thought there was another clone of Maul. I didn't think it was actually him that survived Phantom Menace.
No, it is him. He has cybernetic legs. His brother is out there too, as might be what you're thinking of.
You really got to catch up on Clone Wars.
I think it got better in the later seasons. But Rebels is still a stronger show in general.
Yeah.
I was going to mention, too, have you seen any videos on Hyperspace Mountain?
I have. It's amazing.
That does look pretty cool.
I had not actually seen them.
Call me a bad Disney fan, but I had no idea that the cars for Space Mountain were different in Disneyland. That was the first shock for me.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's a completely different ride. And that's one of the things I don't like comparing which one's better, because I really love them both, but it is much smoother and very different, and very weird lift hill structure from what I remember.
But no, man, Hyperspace Mountain looks ridiculous. It is absurd how great it looks, and it's disappointing that they can't do that at Walt Disney World.
Why wouldn't they do it at Walt Disney World? Just because they want to keep it centralized in Hollywood Studios? Or
no, the argument for non-seasonal stuff at Walt Disney World has always been that it's more of a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and how Disneyland is more geared towards the locals. So how would you feel if during your once-in-a-lifetime trip to Disney World, you didn't get to experience the Haunted Mansion, you had Haunted Mansion Holiday, or even worse, it was closed down to put the seasonal overlay in?
That's more of the issue, is the closures.
Yeah.
That's why Jingle Cruise is an overnight thing. They could do that. But yeah, there's no reason to want to do it in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that too, with Star Wars Land coming to Hollywood Studios, it does not make sense to have it just kind of stuck out there in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, they've done an overlay to Rock and Roller Coaster playing Duel of the Fates.
How amazing would an overlay of Rock and Roller Coaster been? You know, you said that, and what popped into my head is, I was like, you know, we're going to get on to Star Tours a little bit later and how it's kind of fulfilling its promise. And we were promised with Toy Story Midway Mania that would be possible, that we'd get these like quick overlays because it would be easy. How crazy would an overlay of Midway Mania be to Star Wars with the Toy Story characters?
You don't even have to. You could incorporate the freaking Kenner toys into that too.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. And so would an overlay on Rock and Roller Coaster. Oh, God, that's such a missed opportunity. I'm actually legitimately angry right now.
I mean, there's so many more effects you could... I guess you could turn off the black lights in Rock and Roller Coaster and do some projection effects.
Or
it's
you
a little
can just,
harder.
I mean, or... Yeah, I guess. Or you can just, like, cover what they have there and do projection effects, but I get it, with the black light and the darkness, it might be a little bit harder, but still, I mean, you could have thought about it. This is like when Back to the Future Day came at when I was at Universal, and the rumor was that they at least considered letting Back to the Future play in the Simpsons ride and didn't. It's just a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that's definitely a lost opportunity. I mean, I didn't even know that, but that's just shocking.
I could see why they didn't do that one on... Really, but
well, I mean, the logistics of it, people would be in line for hours and the park closed at 5 o'clock that day.
Yeah, it just would have been something that they could have added to celebrate Back to the Future Day, and it made a lot of people happy. But
same thing with the Star Wars stuff here, but I imagine it would be difficult, and everything else in that park's already down anyway, so
right. I don't think you could close Rock and Roller Coaster in 10 minutes.
And Patrick, you just mentioned Star Tours, and they soft opened Star Tours over here at Hollywood Studios with the new Force Awakens footage, which basically shows Jakku and the Millennium Falcon and being chased by TIE fighters.
I watched the clip that they showed. I refused to watch the actual thing. Even though I'm probably not going to get to see it for a year or so, I still don't want to spoil that one.
I did not watch it, not because I didn't want to get spoiled, just because I did not have the opportunity to watch it, but I did read the great detailed report by our own Tom Corliss, and I think it's amazing that, like I said just a few seconds ago, that they are actually fulfilling the promise of Star Tours that we haven't seen with Toy Story Midway Mania, that boom, overnight, new scene, little bit of change, and that if this ride can evolve and somehow encompass a 90-year trip through the three trilogies, yeah, I get it. We're going to mess with canon at some point in time, but we're already traveling through solar systems. What's traveling through time? It'd be amazing because you're now bringing generations upon generation upon generation of fan together, and it's just taking an overnight closure. Like, that's sweet. That's super awesome.
Do you think they'll do that with Rogue One?
I don't know, Ron. What do you think?
The story of it already fits into Rogue One.
True.
With yeah. That you have the that you have the spy on the ship. So, yeah, I think they definitely can work that in. But I like not only that they added stuff from Force Awakens, is they also modified some of the other scenes
yep.
from what I was reading.
Oh, I definitely got to check that out then.
Yeah, dude, you got to get down there.
I got a fast pass for December 1st because that's when it was supposed to open. I mean, I know it's soft opening now, but I'll probably end up seeing it that day. I mean, they're probably definitely going to do something for Episode 8 to kind of push that like they did with The Force Awakens. But yeah, it'd be kind of cool if they just – it was a constant evolving ride, which means we'd probably lose some – planets eventually, or I guess they could kind of keep them and just make it super random.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's the beauty of this, is it is random, so you don't lose something when they add something new.
This week they started filming the Christmas parade at the Magic Kingdom. There was a Star Wars presence, and leading the stormtroopers down the street was Captain Phasma. Patrick and Ron just mentioned it to me just now, and I saw the pictures, and they look amazing.
So good. So good.
Yeah, that is an amazing costume. It looks like the film costume from what I could tell, and if that becomes a meet-and-greet character, and the character in the movie is half-decent and not just a throwaway like Maul, it's going to be a huge, huge line for that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And the fact, you know, even though it's a villain, the fact that it's a powerful female, I think it's awesome. And I love Phasma's look. And the actress playing Phasma, and her name escapes me right now, is such an amazing actress. She does a great job on Game of Thrones as Brianna Tarth. It's exciting. And it's exciting to have this Star Wars presence in the Christmas parade. And I'm wondering... if we can film the Disneyland part and get a little more Marvel involved.
That's a possibility.
That's a good question. I mean, because one of the things we forgot to mention with the launch bay is the Super other hit. Half of the yeah. building. And Spider-Man was meeting there and had a giant line. And it shows one difference between, you know, what people expect at Universal Parks and Disney is – you could just walk up to most of the characters at Universal. And their costumes don't look as good usually,
that,
I will
that's
say.
Too
they look...
funny. That's too funny that you said that, because I was about to say, if Disney really could learn anything from Marvel Superhero Island, it's how they do their meet and greets, because they're so open and, like, they're, I think I've mentioned this before, they're, I don't know if he's Green Goblin or Hobgoblin, but their goblin character that just kind of roams around is fantastic. But yes, their costumes are butt on a butt platter.
They look like Halloween costumes.
Yeah, no, they do not look good. The X-Men outfits are terrible. Spidey looks good, but everything else is kind of garbage.
Spidey is an easy costume to do.
Right.
Comparably. But you could tell, like, when you see the meet and greets on the street, they bring out a bunch of characters at once, and the only ones that seem to have a line are the female characters. Because of the form-fitting costumes, I think. Like,
man.
Last time I went through, it was Rogue and Storm had long lines, and Wolverine's just kind of leaning against a wall looking for someone to talk to.
Even worse, I went and they did Rogue and Storm and then Cyclops. And Cyclops was over on the side being awful, like Cyclops is. And there was a long line for Rogue and Storm. And I will say, both Rogue and Storm were quite fetching young ladies.
And isn't it a 20-year-old costume they have on Cyclops, too?
Is like it the blue?
The cartoons?
Or is
the
it the black
the
leather?
Yellow.
Yeah, it's the blue
with
the yellow.
I thought it was the with the yellow strap across, which I don't think they've used since, like, 1997.
With all the freaking pouches that have nothing in them. So, fans of Nerd Alert, if you notice an awkward edit there, we just took some time to actually really find out how the Disneyland Spider-Man looks, and wow, huh?
Yeah, it's a good costume. It's not quite the movie, not quite the comic book.
Yeah, it's a hybrid between the two. And it's a speaking character, so I think that's awesome.
And again, we at Disney World get screwed.
Seriously, man. We are getting so screwed on the Marvel stuff. Like, I almost want to open negotiations with Universal on my own. Be like, I've won a few dollars. What can I do? Let me help.
Yeah, unless you won Powerball last weekend, I don't think you're being able to pay for this.
All right, note to self, buy more Powerball tickets.
All right, and Patrick had just mentioned a story to me about, what was it, a casting call?
Yeah, so this is from KryptonRadio.com, and I know a few other people have picked it up, but there was an open casting call for a Star Wars event at Disney World. So, hey, we're getting something. They're looking for male and female interactive actors in their 20s and 30s with a knowledge of all things Star Wars. The casting call was actually today, I do believe. The thing that really... Oh, no, it was earlier. The callbacks were today, so, you know, hopefully some lucky people get a callback. The thing that really caught me is the requirements: 18 years of age, current headshot and resume, non-restrictive clothing. Obviously, people got to be up and moving. Please prepare a one-minute comedic monologue. So, Ron, where did my head go?
Serial 8?
No. God, nothing there is ever comedic. No, it went to my favorite things from Star Wars Weekend that is now gone, that I never got to witness in person. Hyperspace Hoopla. Maybe they're bringing back Hoopla.
Who knows? I mean, they're going to have to... I think... There's no way we're not getting any Star Wars hard ticket events. That's...
Yeah.
There's no way.
Even with the demise of Weekends.
That might be why there's no more Weekends.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm hiccuping to death right now.
I don't know. I mean, it's too early for Star Wars Land. They haven't even started making it yet.
Or have they? Bum, bum, bum. Dun, dun, dun. No, but seriously, they might already be working on stuff. Maybe that was the reason the backstage tour, backlot tour, excuse me, closed so quickly, is that they're using that area to produce some Star Wars Land stuff. I think as much as Disney gets a bad rap for moving slowly with projects, I think we're going to see Star Wars stuff pop up quickly and we're not going to know what's going to happen. I think there might be a quicker turnover than we expected.
They waited till the announcement until they had something concrete and ready to go. That's the difference between this and, like, Avatar. Because I'm still, even though, you know, we're a year and a half away from opening, I'm still not 100% sure they have 100% grasp of what they're doing in that land.
I am 100% positive they do not have 100% grasp of what they're doing.
You guys might eat your words. We'll find out, I guess, like, what was it? Less than 2 years?
Sometime in 2017.
Sure. 2017.
Ever-changing date.
You know, if Seasons of the Force menus or anything, I'd rather eat my words than eat the food.
Hey-o! Ah.
Alright, I guess the last bit of news that we're going to talk about is Jessica Jones premiering this week, right?
It is this week, yeah.
Which is the...
Well, depending on the release, it could actually be last week for the listeners. Or if you're listening to this another time, it opened in mid-November.
And it should be on Friday the 20th.
So, I am super excited for this. I'm a huge fan of the Daredevil series. I have a lot of questions about Jessica Jones because it deals with some sincerely adult and sincerely disturbing issues. If you are so inclined, Jessica Jones Alias, I think it was by Bendis. I'm not positive, and I'm sorry if I'm misquoting. But Jessica Jones Alias is a really great run that talks about her. She is a hero that's had a rough path in all ways, shape, or form. She's been a good guy, a bad guy, not associated with heroes. She's married to a hero. She's been an Avenger on several different occasions. She's been a Defender. Just a really rich character that I'm hoping Netflix can do well with.
Yeah, the trailers have been great. I love the one in the bar.
Yes.
Bad Reputation is fantastic. And then we get the full trailer. And, you know, this might get people to stop seeing the Doctor whenever they see David Tennant.
Yeah, as Purple Man, he has a lot there, man.
Yeah, he does seem creepy in the trailers.
He's way more than creepy.
And he can play dark really well. I know you guys aren't as big, aren't big Whovians, but when he went dark as the Doctor, when he went angry, it was scary at times. Because you know what he was capable of in that, and he can bring that intensity to a villain very easily. I think he's a great choice for it, and I really am excited to see that.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, I saw both of the trailers, and I really liked them. And again, it looks like quality, like they did with Daredevil, is carrying over to Jessica Jones. But I'm not that crazy about Jessica Jones right now. I mean, because I'm not really familiar with her like I was with Daredevil. When they announced the series for Netflix was the first time I really heard of her. I haven't really caught on my comics in regards to Jessica Jones. Oh, no, I'm definitely going to give it a try. And again, hopefully that magic that they did with Daredevil will carry over.
Yeah, I barely know the character, too. I mean, I just know I've seen her in some books. She's really very rarely led a book on her own. So I haven't read much of it, but this just looks good from the trailers. And I have a lot of faith in the production wing that's handling these shows after Daredevil. And I think the trailers got better and better, because I think there were four quick ones and then the final full trailer.
Yeah.
And the final full trailer really, really makes us look dark. And I mean, the rules are no F-bombs and no nudity. Other than that, they're kind of allowed to go where they want to on these.
And I think that that's reasonable. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daredevil went pretty far in a lot of the stuff that it did.
Super violent. Super violent at times.
But I think they're told, walk that PG-13 R line, but don't cross it.
And to me, this is like another situation like when they ended up doing Guardians of the Galaxy as a feature film. I mean, the public didn't really know them that much, and they're taking another risk with Jessica Jones.
I think the risk is worth it, because I think the payoff of Defenders is going to be great. You guys don't seem to be as big of a fans of the Defenders as I am. I'm a huge Iron Fist fan. Iron Fist is one of my favorite comic book characters, and if done right, he toes that line of reality and comic bookiness. And he's a fun character. He's another quipper. I guess that's kind of what I like in my characters. I like the guys with the quips. And I like Luke Cage, and I think Luke Cage has a rich history to pull from as well.
Now, Iron Fist was one of my favorite characters growing up, too. And they used to have like these Marvel team-ups, and I remember one time they had Iron Fist and Iron Man, and I just thought that was it.
Yeah.
Two irons and one comic.
What more could you want?
Yep.
Maybe a couple woods and a putter.
Heyo. You guys got to forgive Ron. We are in prime writing season, getting ready for the 60 hours and see you real late and all that good stuff. Make sure you're tuning into that, by the way. Our 60-hour marathon, when's that start?
It will be 9 a.m. the day after Thanksgiving, going to 9 p.m. that Sunday. So that's the 29th? No.
No.
27th to the 29th.
Yep.
27th to the 29th. And we will be doing a live Nerd Alert at
should we tell them what
Saturday.
It's about?
That's up to you, Patrick. And
well, it's your show, Joe. It's up to you. I'm excited. We kind of pitched this show on this idea, so I'm really excited.
All right, Patrick. Yeah, you're right. We're going to have a big topic, and the topic is going to be the original trilogy versus the prequels.
Death to Jar Jar!
We're going to do a lot of research on it, and we're going to see if we can get some input from people in the chat, too. But it's definitely something that we've been looking forward about talking about, even on this podcast. And I think that's going to be a good topic, and that will get us talking for a long time. Hopefully, we'll get it all in for 60 minutes.
I'm super excited, and tentatively, we will be on the air Saturday the 28th at 6 p.m., Ron?
6 p.m., I believe, is what our current schedule is.
Tentatively.
You know, another thing I wanted to mention to you guys, this is another news story that came out recently, is that there have been rumors that Disney is doing away with the slave Leia character in future.
I don't think that's rumor, Joe.
You think that's fact? They haven't said anything officially. It's just a lot of people have been noticing products that they've been... What was it? It was some of the comic book writers were told not to basically draw a slave Leia anymore. But Disney has never made an official announcement on that.
Well, in a way, they overuse it. If it's not taking place in those 3 days of Star Wars continuity, it probably shouldn't be done.
But that's her most memorable outfit, though.
Yeah, but I don't think it needs to be ubiquitously, like... What brought around the rumor is supposedly... I think there was a Hot Toys... For those unfamiliar with Hot Toys, they are extremely detailed, extremely nice, expensive figures, usually somewhere around 200 or more per figure.
Think of like the Walt Disney World Big Figs that you see around the parks.
But with multiple heads, multiple hands, they're as detailed an action figure as you're going to get. Some of them go up to 600 for some of the high-end bigger figures on that, but it was supposedly it was said super detailed slave Leia figure canceled. That's what started the talk, and I'm okay with them really cutting back on the merchandise for that. It's not something I think I would want my 5-year-old playing with, even if I did. You know, I think it's not the outfit so much, it's the calling her slave Leia is also a problem.
Well, it's funny because I actually saw something today on Making Star Wars. They showed a Mr. Potato Head slave Leia, except now it's called Jabba's Captive.
I mean, that's a bit better. Honestly, we're at a point in time where we're trying to get more female action figures. I just saw an uproar about a set of Star Wars figures that didn't have any females. Little did the person know that the set had a Captain Phasma, so they weren't exactly correct with that. But if we're going to get some female action figures, which I'm staring at Rey right now, so I don't think that, you know, it's too big of an issue, do we really want this Slave Leia thing? And it's not like people are going to stop cosplaying her, and it's not like they're going to edit it out of the movie. They've already edited enough out of the movies. So, I mean, I just think that, you know, not producing anything more, that's fine. You'll still be able to get, you know, old stuff on eBay and bootleg stuff and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was her most kick-ass moments were in that costume, too.
Absolutely!
Taking down Jabba, taking down the sail barge, those were all done in that costume. So they can't completely erase it from history.
But what is more troublesome for them? Is it the name or is it the outfit itself?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question, Joe. Is Boba's ship still going to be Slave One? You know, it's a different universe. I understand the time that we're in right now is uproar about everything, and sometimes for good reason, sometimes for not. But I don't think that uproar over Slave Leia, in terms of either name or in terms of them not producing anything new or still producing stuff, I don't think it's that big of a deal either way, but we are correct in saying that her most badass moments were in that outfit.
And I can see the problem with that set you were talking about of, there's no female figure in it that Rey was missing, considering she's supposed to be one of the most central characters. Yeah. I think that that's a bigger issue than Black Widow missing from an Avengers set, because the core Avengers are supposed to be Hulk, Iron Man, Cap, and Thor. And the others are considered the supporting Avengers. But Rey is supposedly one of the new big three, so she should have been in that set.
But there in that set, right?
Right, but maybe there's some misdirection in how important of a role she's going to be. Who knows? But yeah, her missing from that set was something suspicious. Or not suspicious. I'd say suspicious of what's going on behind the scenes with the marketing people. On the other hand, I don't think any of us are going to say Daisy Ridley is not an attractive actress, very pretty. But some of those figures, the face modeling was not good at all. I think she is by far the worst of the Black Series figures.
Yeah.
Just does not look like her at all. So maybe when they were doing, what were those, the 12-inch figures?
Yeah.
Maybe the face modeling was just so bad they decided not to produce that one?
Yeah. I was actually checking out, Target has some of those huge gift sets. I was looking at them. All those figures look like trash. Like, they have a Transformers set. It looks like garbage. They have a Four Horsemen set from the old NWA, WCW days. That also looked like garbage. That's why I collect the pops, man. At least I know what I'm getting.
Yeah, the 3.5-inch and the Black Series are good figures.
Yeah.
All the other junk that they've put out is pretty bad. There's like 5 or 6 other types. There's a 9-inch figure. There's a 12-inch figure. There's the Hero Masher figures. They just don't look good. I understand that they're, you know, more toys to play
for
with.
Children.
But there's no reason for them to look that bad.
I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, you guys weren't around when Star Wars first came out, but when they started making action figures for them,
the Kenner figures,
they were horrible.
I've got first edition. Well, these are the reprints from the original molds from the set in my hand right now. I just pulled them off a shelf of Vader. And yeah, I mean, he's.
No, I'm talking about like a face like Luke or Han, you know.
Oh, I've got those too, but they don't look a thing like it. But they didn't look. They're not supposed to be highly detailed like that one is.
Yeah.
And look ugly. And the other thing is, the figures we're talking about aren't, they don't look like the actor. They're just a poor design of a toy.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm looking at other, I have those in one hand, and I'm looking at, you know, stuff that came out a few years later, like the from Jedi. I have a Salacious Crumb in my hand, and for, you know, a accessory figure to a toy, it looks really good, and that's from 1983.
They did get better, though. I mean, as
oh, yeah,
it progressed, but like the very first ones that were made in the 70s just looked horrific. But back then, I mean, we were dying to get our hands on anything Star Wars, because, you know, like the first couple of months after the movie, there was nothing.
I mean, the like Mego figures were what action figures were in the 70s, and they weren't great, but they were what you had to play with. You know, I'm a few years too young for those. I grew up in the, you know, G.I. Joe 3.5-inch figure era. I don't think, like, you had, the only other scale you had was the He-Man figures. And then Transformers were a different scale all over the place. I mean, some of them were 1.5, some of them were 3.25 inches. I mean, it just depends on what you were buying. The only thing I can remember that came in like 4 or 5 different sizes like this was Voltron. And that was just basically more of how much money are you going to spend to get a detailed toy.
And that was a cool toy.
That was a really cool toy.
Oh, yeah. The one where the lions could separate and put back together.
Yeah. Oh, that was the best.
That was one of my favorite birthday presents of all time. And I remember, like, trying to find, like, you couldn't find the black lion.
But you got all of them, right?
Yeah, I ended up getting, I had a couple of them loose, and then, like, a great aunt got me the set one for Christmas.
Oh,
so I had a couple of spares of the others.
Are you talking about the die-cast ones or the plastic ones?
Oh, yeah. No, this was the nice die-cast.
Oh, that man. I had an... those are so cool.
It weighed more than I did when I was that age. I mean,
when When Joe Speaking was growing like, up, he just painted faces on rocks and pretended that they were action figures.
Yeah, that's true. No, I mean, the action figures we had were like, we had like, I guess they were, yeah, the Mego dolls for the Marvel characters. And you had Spider-Man, and they were like as big as Barbie dolls.
Yeah, and G.I. Joe at the time was the same.
Yep, that's right. G.I. Joe, Action Jackson. Speaking of toys, I'm going to segue this right into video games.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked up Star Wars Battlefront. I've been playing it for a little bit. I got to say, I mean, graphics look incredible. Audio is amazing. The multiplayer is great. And it's a fantastic Star Wars game. My only issue that I have is that there's no campaign in this. And I just, again, think that they were lazy, that they couldn't have done a campaign. A lot of people are saying that it's not worth the price, that it's not a full game, because they have, what is it, 4 planets, and I'm trying to think how many maps. 3 maps for each planet. So you have like 12, and I think there's an extra one that's like 13. It kind of seems a little light on the maps, but you know what? It's a lot of fun, though. When you're playing the multiplayer, you feel like you're in the Star Wars universe.
So, Joe, would you like to give the lovely people a little background information, a little peek behind the curtain of your harassment of me with this video game?
Oh, yeah, and no, I've been pushing you to get it, like, since it was announced.
And when I finally bought a PS4, you're like, in Battlefront? I said I'll probably get it for Christmas. And to which Joe said, well, that's fine, but now you have to take orders from me whenever we play the game.
Well, that is true. I'm only saying the truth, because I'm going to be at a higher level than you. And I'm sure, well, Ron, I think, is going to get it eventually.
I'm probably going to get it eventually. But right now, my thing why I'm not getting it is that campaign mode, which is what I like to play in games. I'm not the biggest
multiplayer,
you know, big multiplayer shooter. Though I did hear from my brother-in-law, who was at the midnight launch last night at GameStop, the line was longer than when he was there the day Call of Duty came out. So I think that's a really good sign.
It's a good and it's a bad sign, because I think that they might start looking at they accomplished by focusing mostly on the multiplayer, and we might see games like that, like Titanfall did it a couple of years ago, where it was multiplayer only for consoles. And I just want, like you, Ron, I want like a campaign that I can kind of play by myself if I want to. And, you know, again, what are you going to do? Like, eventually people are not going to be playing this game. You know, they might get sick and tired of it or whatever. It's going to be a while, though, because it is a good multiplayer game. But when that happens, I mean, it's going to be difficult for you to find people playing. And, like, if you want a specific planet and you want a specific mode, it can be hard to play that, and I think it's unfortunate that we don't have a backup, like some campaign that we can play over and over again.
And EA has been known to stop supporting older online games.
Yeah.
EA, even on PC games, going, no, we're not running servers for this anymore, sorry.
Yeah, like I think they stopped doing like Battlefield 2 or something like that. But yeah, they announced a lot of games that they were no longer providing servers for. Yeah, you're right about that. I forgot. I played a couple of modes. I played Walker Assault, which is just basically like if you're on one side, if you're on the Alliance, your whole thing is to protect your base and to take out the walkers before they get to your base. And if you're the stormtroopers, you basically have to protect your walkers as they get to the base. And it's a huge map. Like, there's a lot of small maps in this. Like, the one that they have for Walker Assault is just basically broken up into 3 individual maps that go to smaller games. Like, Walker Assault is a 40-player game, so it's 20 versus 20. But a lot of the other multiplayer games are 10 versus 10, and that's where you would use the small maps. And, you know, it's great. You got vehicles flying around. You have, you know, walkers and AT-ATs and AT-STATs, A-T-S-T's. And then you got the heroes. You have Luke Skywalker. I mean, you can actually play as Luke Skywalker. It's kind of like a random chip that they have out there. If you happen to pick it up, you become Luke Skywalker.
What?
And yeah, you become Luke Skywalker, and someone on the other team may be Darth Vader, or he could be Boba Fett, and you guys go head-to-head with one another. And it's so cool. It actually feels like a movie, because at some point there was probably like about maybe 10 to 12 stormtroopers and 10 to 12 rebels, and they were all fighting each other. And then all of a sudden they just said, you know, Luke Skywalker is on the field. Like an announcement came out, like from your commander. And then they gave a warning that Darth Vader is now on the field. And they kind of met like in the middle, and everybody almost stopped shooting and just watched them fight. You know, it was a lightsaber duel. And it was just something that you would see right out of the movie, and they nailed it. So good. But they're actually people playing as those characters. It's not like a cut scene or anything like that. It's just so fun. But overall, I mean, I enjoyed it. I can't wait for you guys to play so that I can order Patrick around. That'd be nice.
Ridiculous.
Did you see the video that came out today of someone was playing as Luke, and they run up behind this snowtrooper on a cliff, and they just force push them off the cliff, right as a TIE fighter is going by, and they force push the guy right into the TIE fighter, and both the guy and the TIE fighter just explode and end up crashing into a mountain off in the distance. It was just really shows how unbalanced those heroes characters become and why they're random drops, basically.
Yeah, they don't really last that long. I mean, because everybody's shooting at them and they only have so much defense. So they'll be out there for, I'd say, like the most like 2 minutes. And then they're gone. But yeah, when they're out there, they're pretty damn powerful. I did see that. There was also one where Vader threw his lightsaber at a X-Wing. And he destroyed the X-Wing. It blew up. I was like, wow. But again, it's a pretty cool game. If you get a chance, hopefully around the holidays, see it under the tree.
I'm gonna be one of those kids that like got a Nintendo in the early, late 80s. Just bugging out if I open Battlefront. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, I love it. And I can't wait to play once I'm off this call with you guys.
And I'm going from here to Fallout to walk around my own hometown in a bombed out apocalypse version of it.
And that's Boston, right?
Yeah, this one's based out of Boston. So it's like, oh, yeah, Fenway Park. It's a shootout going on. Okay.
You need to do the David Ortiz mod. You get the spiked baseball bat and your big poppy. How can you beat that?
He's going to be retired by 2077. He's going to be retired by 2017.
Yeah, no more big poppy.
Have you played old Fallout games?
No, I haven't.
Neither.
Yeah, you just never.
You used to get a lot of weapons, and you sell, and there's a lot of modding of weapons in this, so I have a giant stockpile. I have baseball bats in 9 colors sitting around in my like weapons crate.
All right, I guess we'll wrap it up.
Joe, before we wrap it up, I have big news. It's very important. We got our first piece of email.
Oh, awesome. Let's hear it.
I just want to thank our buddy Jeff over at Jalen Jade on Twitter. He gave us some feedback regarding our audio levels, so nothing too exciting. But, Jeff, thank you so much for emailing in, and make sure you listen to this episode to let us know what's going on.
Man, I thought it was going to be something juicy.
No, I just wanted to build it up.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks for putting that one in there. All right, so we'll wrap this up. And can you tell me, Ron and Patrick, where the listeners can find you guys?
Our official Twitter, which we do occasionally use lately, is at Nerd Alert Pod, and I can be found personally at Gracie's Butler.
I am at Hack LaSalle, and you can email the show at Nerd Alert Pod, same thing as the Twitter handle, at gmail.com. And thank you once again to Jeff for his feedback.
All right. With that, this will be the end of episode number 15 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. And that's it, guys.
Stay nerdy.
See ya.